Let's see now.
Well, whatever you want to
here
say.
We'll try talking.
No,
I'll ask you some questions. I would like to see if it's just recording, if it's all right with you. First thing I want to ask you about, whether a little bit about your town, your hometown in Europe. First, tell me, where did you live?
We lived in Minsk. It's West Poland at that time it was.
So you lived in Minsk. Was this a town?
It's a big town.
It's a big town.
Yeah, it's a big town. Uh-huh.
And what type of house did you live in?
I really don't remember. I think it was a brick house. And
was it a house, an individual home, or was it a house that was where you shared a wall?
No, we had an apartment like this,
But
instead of having the bathroom, they had the build-up oven, you know, in the wintertime. We used to go on top of the oven to get warmed
really?
Up. And it divided the two rooms, a bedroom from the kitchen.
Well, how many rooms did you have in your house?
I don't remember. I don't know whether we had more than two or three. I don't remember.
Did
that.
You, how many brothers lived with you? How many were in your family?
Well, my mother and two brothers.
You had two brothers.
Yeah.
And were they older or were they younger?
No, I was the oldest.
You were the oldest, so that they were younger. And are they living?
Well, one of them is
one
passed away.
I see. You had no sisters at all. So there were just the three of you in the family.
Yes.
Right? What kind of work did your father do? Because
my father worked in the distillery, and he went to Vilna to work there.
Oh.
And my mother, we distributed bottles with beer, and I don't know whether we bottled it ourselves or whether we bought it.
Uh-huh.
I think we bought. I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what.
You mean, in other words, your father had a distillery in Vilna?
Well, I don't know now. He worked in Vilna, but before that, I think we had a saloon.
I see. In
Minsk.
In Minsk, huh?
I don't remember the location or anything.
Well, how old were you at that time when you were living in Minsk?
I must have been 10 years old or something like that.
And the memories very vivid? Do you remember the life there very much as you were a child?
I don't remember too much of it.
Uh-huh. What were the languages spoken in your home? Languages?
We spoke English and Russian.
You spoke English?
Not English. No, Jewish. You know, Hebrew.
Oh, Yiddish. Uh-huh.
Yiddish and Russian.
Uh-huh. And,
I was able to speak at that time, and after I got to this country, I got them all mixed up with Russian and Polish and Slavish when we had help, you know, in the house.
I see. So you could even speak a little Polish?
Yeah, I could.
Yes?
I was Polish and Slavish, they all got mixed up together.
Why? Because you had help.
Huh?
You had some women helping you, and they...
Oh, no, after we come here.
Oh, you mean, in other words, it was when you came to the United States that you started to speak Polish. Uh-huh. So Yiddish and Russian were the primary languages. And what kind of schooling did you have there? What did you attend school?
I don't remember about schooling, but I know after I come here, I got schooling.
Yeah, but did you go to a private school there, or did your mother and father teach you, or did you go to a Jewish school, or did you go to a state school?
I don't remember that, but I was able to read Russian and read.
I must have gone to school.
I got into schooling there, sure.
But you don't recall as a child any of your experiences
going to school there.
Did you have a synagogue there?
Oh, yeah.
Do you recall that you did?
Yeah.
What was your synagogue like? Do you remember?
I had my uncle and my father's brother, he was a Saxon there, but I don't remember much about it.
You don't recall what kind of building it was in, or how many people would go, or how often you might go?
No, I don't remember that. I can't remember.
Do you recall what your relations were with the non-Jewish people. Did you ever see any non-Jews?
Oh, yeah, we had non-Jewish people. We had a saloon there. We had, in fact, we had a man who served for the, they used to call him a Nikolaiska soldat. You know, he worked, he served 20 years in the army for the Tsar, and after that he stayed with us. He used to be drunk, you know, but my father always took him in a house and kept him, and he was real good to us.
You mean he lived in your home?
He lived with us, yeah.
And then, so in other words, you must have had quite a few bedrooms if you could put in your two brothers, yourself.
Yeah,
and this man stayed and then...
Yeah, we must have had because...
And he probably worked. Did he work for your father?
Yeah, he worked for us and we always kept him in the house. You know,
well, how about the...
very good friend.
Did you live in a little ghetto-like place where... You didn't go where you were just every day when you woke up and you walked around, you would only see Jews?
Or
was it in
a big town like Pittsburgh. It was, you know, mingled with Gentile people.
So you mingled with Gentiles and did you have any feelings of, any kind of feeling towards the Gentiles, one way or the other?
Well, they always in small towns, they had pogroms and fights, you know, anything like that. But it was a big town like Pittsburgh, you know. It was a,
but you never had anyone...
We never had any trouble with them.
So you never had this kind of problem, just in the small towns.
Yeah, we had in the small towns, you know. They always small town. We always used to hear, you know, they had pogroms, especially in holidays when they were away. They used to break in and rob and steal, but we never had it.
Did you belong to any political organization?
No.
When you were, did your parents, for example, that like were they Zionists or were they socialists?
Not at that time, I don't think.
No.
No, at that time I don't think they even had it. You know, that's 1895.
No, well, you don't recall the socialists as being strong,
well,
or the labor Zionists.
We didn't belong to them.
What was the relationship of the government of your country to the Jews? What went on between the Jews and the government?
Time,
did they tax you?
Oh, I guess they had licenses and taxes. I know we had you had to have a license to sell liquor.
Was this hard to get as a Jew? Was this a problem?
Well, I tell you, I don't know. It just seems I think my father didn't have a license for liquor. And one day, he must have had it somewhere in the warehouses, storage or something.
You mean the license?
To have the license for selling liquor, and he didn't have it. So one day he went to the storage room over there to get some, and he saw an officer coming in front of him. So he just dropped the bottle. He had probably a quart bottle or something. And the officer, and he must have been near the saloon or something, because my mother used to tell me that. And the officer, he took out a sword and he said, "Who's going to kill the Jew?" He showed this Gentile fellow that's Tamil, and he says, "You have no right drawing the sword to anybody." He says, he took the sword and broke it in half.
Had that Gentile man been living with you for very long when when this had happened? Your mother told you this story.
Yeah, my mother told me.
So what
story.
About?
But
the,
I don't recall.
Yeah, you don't recall. But did the Did you remember any other stories of where the government came in and taxed your house or made demands on
you? No, not in our place. I don't remember that. But I know in, you know, small towns, they just didn't tax them, but they, you know, holidays or other times, they get a chance to rob them or anything like that.
Yes.
I don't recollect that.
Do you remember back as a child, what did you think of America at the time? What were your thoughts?
Well, see, when my father went to Wilna to work, and I don't know why he went there, but anyhow, he went there, and then from there he went to America, and we were there. And then after my father
you were
was
in Wilna?
From Wilna, he went to America. And then after he was there 5 years, he took us over here.
Did he write to you at all from America?
Oh, yeah, he used to write to us.
What did he tell you that you thought you would find in America or you would learn in America?
Well, I don't remember that. I can't say what he's saying. After he saved enough money. Well, in fact, he didn't have saved enough money. He took my aunt's passport, and I had a license and a ticket, and then bought more to it, and I sent us over. Then he brought her over later.
I see. Uh-huh. And you don't recall his describing America to you?
No, I don't recall that.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall that.
Well, then what do you think was the reason that he went to America?
Well, I guess
would
everybody
you say?
Else went, and I guess he went too. You know, uh-huh. We had relations here.
I see.
And they sent for us.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't go just tell the reason.
Uh-huh.
At that time, everybody wanted to go to America.
Did you, you really, was there any reason, except for the fact that there were relatives in the United States, was this the main reason your father wanted to come?
My father was here. He was here 5 years without us, so he didn't bring us over.
But was it hard for you to leave the place you were born, or your mother to leave the
place
she was
born? Well, you know, when
you
have a parent someplace else, you don't care. You go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But was it a difficult thing for your father to leave?
Well, I guess it was. You know, everybody wanted to go away, and there. They went, that's all.
Uh-huh.
But he had he worked at the store. I guess he had a good job there, you know.
I mean, when he came to the United States, he worked in the distillery.
Yeah, well,
is that where he came? What? When he came to the United States, did he have a specific place he wanted to go to that he was planning to go?
Well, we landed in Baltimore. I don't know where he landed, but he came here and he come to Pittsburgh right away. Guess our relations or friends or whoever, they were in Pittsburgh,
uh-huh.
So they all landed here.
I see. And so he, in other words, when he came to the United States, he went to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he came to Pittsburgh.
And you feel the reason that he came to Pittsburgh was because you had friends or relations?
Yeah, relations here, yeah.
You don't recall any of the relations being here. Do you recall their names?
Oh, we have different relations here. I don't first to call it friends, people who come. The Goldblums were related to us, you know, the Goldblums, the Federal Tobacco Company there.
Mm-hmm.
His brother, Jake, he was president from Bay Shore.
Mm-hmm.
He was married to a cousin of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, but, you know, we came to the Goldblums' house when we come here, and they started me to school. The boys, you know, there's two of them are dead, Abe Hyman and Mike, and this one, Abe.
Uh-huh.
He was the Federal Tobacco Company.
But I see.
Superman.
I see.
Just now he's a Superman, he's a Viking man.
I see. So you came to the to these friends?
Oh, yeah.
And actually they were relatives, it's a cousin.
Yeah, relatives from friends, you
right.
know, we had cousins, you know, both Dr. Bolton. No, Garfinkel, they all passed away already.
I see.
And Dr. Garfinkel was a big doctor. And
I see.
We had different relations. Sollust used to be in the South Side of Furniture Company daily. They all passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm.
Mm-hmm. When you traveled to the United States, did you travel as part of your family? Were there any other families that would travel with you?
Oh, well, there was lots of people traveling, but we had a tough time getting here.
Why?
Well, first place, when my father got the agent to get us the tickets to come over here and a
uh-huh.
passport, he didn't give us the right kind of passport.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then, the day he made out the list for the people to get on the steamer,
mm-hmm.
he had made a mistake. He was drunk and he made a mistake. He took five people too many on the steamer. And, and see, when they stopped in the middle of the ocean to count the people, there was five too many. So they took us and me, my brothers, you know, the three of us, my mother's four, and the girl, she went all by herself. So they took it off on the island and made us go back to Germany. And we had to wait till another steamer came.
Oh, dear.
And the second time, we got on a steamer that went to Israel. Palestine.
Really?
So we had a stop in the middle of the ocean and transfer to the big steamer that goes to America.
Do you mean you actually landed in Israel? Huh? Did you land in Palestine?
No, we didn't. No. We stopped in the middle of the ocean someplace, and they transferred us to the steamer that goes to America.
Oh. How did you get transferred in the middle of the ocean? How would
that happen? We started before Pesach, we're coming after Shavuos.
Oh, no.
We were 13 days on the ocean, on the Atlantic Ocean, and we had a terrible time. The steamer lost its way one time. The water was coming in, and you got drowned. We had a terrible time.
How could you transfer from one boat to another in the middle of the ocean?
Well, they stop, and you just transfer. You could stop in the middle of the ocean.
Oh dear.
Listen, how'd they stop and get gas in the airplanes today?
Yeah, they just stop and
they stop, they get that, they do that. They could stop in the middle of the ocean.
When you arrived at Baltimore, you said.
Yeah, and then
there to meet you? Who met you?
I don't remember who met us. I guess my father probably did. Yes. I don't remember that. I can't clearly remember.
And then, do you recall that you? What did you do after you arrived in Baltimore?
Oh no, we came here. We came straight here to Pittsburgh, and we landed with these people, Goldblums. They lived kind of Locust and McGee Street there, and we lived upstairs, and they lived downstairs. And the boys started us to school right away. We went to grand school. We could have been right near the Forum School. They started. At that time, they thought grand school was the best school, and anyhow, they were going there, and I guess they started us.
I see.
And that's the story on that.
What did you bring anything of your own to America on the boat when you had to decide what to take with you? Do you remember that you brought anything, your mother brought anything?
I have stuff here.
Do you?
I have stuff here, yeah, that they brought from Europe.
Do you? For example, what do you have?
Here, you could go in there and sleep.
Yeah, tell me some.
Samovar.
Oh, yeah. The samovar. Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I was stable. But I didn't bring those things. My mother-in-law brought them. She gave. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And I had lots of copper pots and pans. Mm-hmm. You know everything we had back.
You didn't bring anything of a more personal nature that you recall. Anything?
No. We didn't want to carry too much. You know.
Aboard the boat, especially.
Well, in fact, I guess my father wrote us not to care too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know.
What was your name in Europe? What was your last name in Europe?
Well, my last name was the same thing, Garfinkel.
Garfinkel. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so do you have family now here in Pittsburgh? Your brothers or your brother's family, their children?
Well, I have my youngest brother just had one son, but he passed away.
I see.
And my other brother, he has an adopted son. My older brother has an adopted son.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the oldest in the family.
I'm the oldest. Just the two of us.
Yes. What impressed you when you came to the United States? When you first came here, what was the thing?
I don't know what really impressed me that time. Things were, you know, it wasn't like it is now. There's not to impress you. The only thing, I guess, we went to school, and we had a rabbi, and he taught me Jewish, you know, Hebrew and Jewish and German.
Uh-huh.
I was able to read and write German, but now I forgot all. If you don't choose it, you know, maybe if I'd start to look it back and study, I could pick it up. I was able to speak Slavish and Polish and everything. You know, when you get those, you know, years ago you got those foreigners that were greenhorns and you just mixed up. They don't say one word if you did not send, you used another word.
Yeah.
So we had always help. You know, that time you could get help cheap, $8 and $10 a month, till you trained them, and then they'd leave you and go someplace else and you'd take another one.
Take another one else. Do you recall anything about Pittsburgh that impressed you very much when you first came here?
Well, I don't know. That time nothing seemed to impress me too much.
Uh-huh.
Because I tell you now, I missed nothing. Before we left was the first time we got electricity there.
Where?
In Minsk. They didn't have it at that time. See, that was already new to me. It wasn't new, I mean, I had it there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a park in town. We used to always go right in the middle of town. We had a nice park.
You mean Minsk?
Used to go there. Yeah, in Minsk. It was a big city like Pittsburgh, you know, it wasn't a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And,
how about the trolleys?
I don't remember having trolleys there.
I mean here.
But here where they have
a and they didn't have running water. Did they have running water?
Here. Oh yeah.
There.
We had running water.
Mm-hmm.
But we had our toilets outside. And then we were taken to mean of, you know, gradually at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a hot water.
Mm-hmm. Did you have
any? They have no bathrooms when we found.
You didn't have any when you came.
We didn't have any. You know, there were hotels or something like that. Most of the people must have them, but we didn't have them.
Can you remember what your first day in Pittsburgh was like? Can you remember back? How old were you then?
About
12.
But I don't remember exactly. We lived in there with the Goldblums, and they started me to school, and that's about all I could remember at that time.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a customer peddler. He used to go, you know, carry a pack and go with, and then my mother, well, afterwards my mother tried to help him along because she was in business and she didn't like to. That was a little later on.
Yeah.
You know,
we,
and then my father afterwards bought a home.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't live very long after that. He just lived 6 months after he bought a piece of property.
Well, how did he live? Was he still going around selling things on his back?
Oh,
still,
yeah.
From place to place? And he made enough money to buy a home?
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
Well, no. My father did it because he used to work a whole lot in Millvale.
Mm-hmm.
And over there they had a building loan, you know, years ago they saved, and he saved money in the building loan, he knew the people there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd advanced him money because they knew him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that was just about 6 months before he passed away. After that, my mother and me, we helped, you know, felt each other. I was the oldest.
How did you live after he passed away?
Well, my mother had the route, and I helped her, and I went to school.
You mean she carried things?
I went to Pittsburgh Academy. I was bookkeeper.
I see.
And but I used to, you know, used to work and help your mother and do the work at night and work here. Well, go to school, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But after we lived in Corner Forks and Pride City, the hospital on the ground, and we had a move. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Brady Street was a terrible place. It was bad.
What was the bad place?
Brady Street.
Brady Street.
Oh, it was very bad.
Is that where you lived?
Huh? No.
No.
Well, we just lived a couple of blocks.
Right.
Well, see, our property was close to Brady Street.
I see.
2 blocks from Brady Street, but they considered it a very bad place of Brady Street years ago.
I see.
And when we lived at the corner of Forbes and Pride, the Mercy Hospital bought it, and we made us move. And at that time, it was as bad as today to get rooms. You couldn't get anywhere as rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We went to one place, Osgood's. He had a furniture store on corner 5th Avenue and Logan Street. And he offered us the third floor up above. And, oh, we thought it was terrible at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they opened the third floor above a furniture store.
Yeah.
So we went, and it just happened that one of our tenants from the Tustin Street moved out. So we moved there. We had a frame house. 4 rooms, and they had a kitchen outside, like a washroom, we used that.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see, we didn't have no bathroom that time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had an extra room outside, and we used that.
Mm-hmm.
There was water there, and we washed, and we did whatever we wanted. But my mother made it go work.
Was there anything that disappointed you about the United States during the first 5 years?
Well, I don't know. I tell you, I don't think anything disappointed me, but between the difference in there and here, this was an improvement, that's all. But at that time. They had here their outside toilets, and they had over there the outside toilet and different mm-hmm. things. You know, it wasn't, mm-hmm. If you're in a small country town, it's different, but if you're in a big town, it's different again.
Mm-hmm. Was there any point in the first 5 years when you felt you weren't treated nice because you were a new immigrant?
No.
There's nothing that you can recall that happened to you at school, for example, where anyone fun of you or anyone did anything that would, or
not that
the fact
time,
that you were
so
Jewish
many.
And was it a non-Jewish neighborhood?
No. At that time, there were so many foreigners, you know, they didn't make no fun.
Now, after living in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would accomplish your goal or whatever you would think of yourself doing?
Well, I don't know. I just didn't have any goal. I know I went to school and then I went to mm-hmm. business school and mm-hmm. and that's all. And that's all I could expect after all. Mm-hmm. With you know, my father being passed away, he's mm-hmm. passed away. As soon as he passed away, I went to prison school in Pittsburgh Academy at that time. It was on the corner of 4th Avenue and Diamond Street there, across the street.
Is it still running?
No, well, I don't know if it's still running, but I think it's the Pittsburgh Academy here downtown someplace.
How many years had you lived in the United States before your father passed away?
He died in 1900, which was five years.
So in other words, he lived with you for those first 5 years.
Sure.
And during that time, did he have any ambitions to do something that he was trying to do, and did he fulfill what he wanted to do?
Well, I don't know. That time, he was making good with the peddling, with the customer peddlers, and he didn't uh-huh. look for anything else.
Uh-huh. He didn't.
And afterwards, I made it easier in carrying the pack so much that you should go send them to the wholesale house and pick up what they wanted, you mm-hmm. know, like clothing or anything. And they take them down there and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or shoe stores or anything. They gave them anything they wanted.
Yes.
They took them up in the in the wholesale house and picked it up and mm-hmm. didn't have to carry so much.
Now, you were telling me about when you first came, you went to live with the Goldblums. That's where you first went. Then, how long did you stay with the Goldblums?
Well, we didn't stay too long there. We got a house in Corner Forbes and Pride.
Then you went from the Goldblums to that house on
Corner? Yeah, to the house in Corner Forbes and Pride.
Now, how could you afford to do that? I mean, how did you have enough money to be able to buy a house?
We didn't buy that house. We rented that house.
Oh, you rented it. But
we went there, and after we rented that house, my father bought this house. And my father, he had money. And you know what he used to do? You used to see the foreigner, the greenhorns, to call them the greenhorns.
Mm-hmm.
These relations of friends, anybody knew who used to come.
Mm-hmm.
He used to give them money to buy a horse and wagon, and he used to go huckster.
I see.
So my father had a headache, and they had the money.
Uh-huh.
And then that's why we bought the house on Colonel Forbes and Pride, because down below, it's near the Forbes school there. It's like in the basement that time they had it. There were stables there, and
mm-hmm.
father used to have horses and wagons there, and the fellows used to go out working.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to get the profit. We were supposed to.
What was the neighborhood like? Who were mostly Jews living in the neighborhood, or were there non-Jews? What was it made?
Yeah, there were Jewish and Irish. I think there was Jewish and a few non-Jews. I know.
Jewish.
Yeah, and I know when we lived on Tesla Street, when we moved to our house, there was Gentile people across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they come over to my mother and say, "Mrs. Garfield, what's the matter? You're here such a short time. You already have property." She says, "Sure, uh-huh. I have property." She says, "Look, who's in the corner of the saloon? You or me?"
So where was that second house?
That was the old house we had.
Tustin,
T-U-S-T-I-N.
T-U-S-T-I-N.
And then we had tenants there. It was like a little...
That you bought, right?
Yeah, my mother. Right. My father was living
here.
Your father
was living, so he bought that. That's right.
He passed away after 6 months after he passed away. But after he bought it.
Well, now, did your mother make money then with this from the saloon or from the bringing the...
No, we didn't have no saloon here. No, she took up the customer peddlers. Yeah, we had money from that. And then we had tenants there, see?
Oh.
It was a one-frame house. It has 4 rooms.
I see.
And then it had a row of brick houses.
Uh-huh.
And it was like two rooms in each house, one on top of each other. And we collected rent already, and we...